This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
My name is Corazon del Sol, and I'm an artist. And I've been spending the last year and a half archiving my mom's work, over 1,000 artworks. We've been unrolling them, we've been flattening them, we've been cleaning them, we've been photographing them, we've been organizing them. A lot of them are kind of these sort of complex texts. There's a lot of hidden messages, a lot of spells, and so we've been deciphering them. And most of all, I've been getting to be in relationship with all these pieces for over a year and a half, which is, I don't know if it's just one of the most stupendous experiences of my life. We're in the A. Quincy Jones barn in Century City, and it was the office and sometimes home, I think office slash home of A. Quincy Jones and his wife. And Metabolic Studio took it over and got it a historical monument, architectural monument status, so it couldn't be torn down because every single thing in this neighborhood gets torn down and turned into ugly condos. But now it's here. It has its historical monument status, and it's a kind of stunning piece of mid-century architecture, and it has these huge architectural spaces, which really lends itself to archiving. My mom was an amazing conceptual artist. She started in the mid-60s. Was a big part of the early conceptual movement, only woman, completely written out of history. And then in the early 70s, she moved to Colombia, and she raised me in Colombia. And her whole artistic practice pivoted towards kind of magic and spell making. And when she was at UC Berkeley in 68 with Jim Melcher, studying the dematerialization of the object, and my mom asked for a whole semester off so she could just study invisibility. She was like, fuck the object. I want to dematerialize myself. She'd always say that that conceptual art was a capitalist form of magic. She had a really robust practice. She lived in Lincoln Heights for years and was never really recognized. She died in 2008, and I had to fill a whole U-Haul full of things to bring down to LA. And I discovered some of her biggest works that she ever made and that I had never seen. And I was so taken with them that I wanted other artists to see them. So I was putting them on my living room floor and inviting artist friends. I was like, before these go into storage, everyone has to see them because I don't know when they'll ever be seen again. And one of the people who came to see them was Lauren, because I have such respect for her as an artist. And after she spent some time really like being present with the work, she said, you know, I think you should be our next project for special projects in archiving. And at the time, I didn't know what she was talking about. And then Carolyn reached out to me a few weeks later and was like, hey, I want you to come to the space to meet and talk about the project of archiving your mom's work. I thought maybe I'd have use of one of the rooms. Put everything away in one of the rooms that we could, like just shoved as much stuff into a room as we could. And then Carolyn was here and she was like, no, you have this whole space. I'm an archivist. I'll be here once a week helping you archive. And it's just been this dream come true. Carolyn taught me how to archive the work properly. This is where we are using a lot for the flattening of the work, unrolling it, putting weights on it for up to a month and then turning it over, putting weights on it on the other side, cleaning them. But in the process of caring and flattening for the work, I'm also like getting to be deeply present with the work and reading the work and deciphering the work. So we discover this and then we discover this a week later, let's say, and then I have months of kind of processing, what does it mean? How do they connect? Then I'll start doing research about something that she's written. There's a lot of kind of learning about alchemy, learning about magic, but also kind of deciphering and kind of cataloging the visual lexicon of my mom's work, which is really dense. I knew that it was an alchemical symbol, but I didn't know the whole history. So we started researching it. And what we found was that it started as a Sumerian symbol about transformation, the snake on the staff. It became the doctor's symbol, but then it also became the symbol of the American dollar. My mom struggled her whole life financially. You know, she made this like very avant-garde work that people just were not buying. She could never pay the rent. She could barely pay for her food. So on the one hand, it's a spell for money. She has written with her hand like over and over. And it's like, help, I need money. But simultaneously, it's a deep critique of capitalism and how it always usurps the power of the collective. It captures the collective imagination for its own use to kind of limit our understanding of what's possible. The same series, that this is the one she ended up using. It was for the Book of Lies, the first Book of Lies, and it says lielessness. And it came in the Book of Lies with a hook and gives instructions to hang it into the corner of a room. But I know a lot about it because we talked about it a lot. And it was about, the book is about, she gave the prompt to people in the Book of Lies, if the world is full of lies, then what is truth? In the first one where she did this piece, it's about the moon, and is the moon reflected light or is it permeating light? These are this kind of material project that she would do with silk where it becomes a skin. And so she talked about them as the flickering light, the veils that catch the flickering light in the cave. So when you have a fire in a cave and how the light flickers onto the cave, it becomes a veil of reality because so much of the time spent in the cave was this like deep ritualistic practices of inhabiting other worlds and other dimensions. And the womb, of course, you know. So it's also about being in the womb as a baby and being in the womb in a larger scale as an animal on the planet. And so, and it just says lielessness. And this is the one that she ended up using, but I think there's like 60 different versions in here. And this one is actually my favorite. I don't know if you can see it. It says, I can never lie to you. If so much of her work is a critique of systems of domination, the antidote for that would be intimacy. And intimacy can't happen in a lie. This one, I see clearly in the light of an accidental beam of the harvest moon. So you can see there are all of these experiments. She always was doing multiple versions of certain pieces to kind of really experiment and understand what worked the best. And that was something she really taught me, was to just do every iteration. I can never lie to you. Lielessness. Lielessness. She burnt it. There's some where it's like fully hidden. Inside of this, it says, I can never lie to you, but it's like covered with wax so many times you can barely see it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the works are meant to touch and move. They have like so many different dimensions that come alive depending on the light, again, for intimacy. And understanding that there's like so many possible realities in one reality. And then on the back of it, it says, at the edge of the universal fabric with Ulysses' hand mirror. And it was just this like little rolled up thing. And then we realized, because it's on such thin vellum, that it's 22 feet long. And it's this entire scroll of a kind of cosmology of all of these ideas. It's also about the really real practice of bringing the ideas into fruition through object making. So it's like snap, strap, or anxiety drain. Is it coiled stuffed leather? Does it have holes? Is it a universal jump starter? And it's all these, it's not her knowing, it's her really kind of grappling with all the possibilities. I keep going back to my thoughts about why do I do this in the first place? Making art an object which is close to the state of being, transmitting where we touch, where we feel, a heightened consciousness, grounding awareness. Interesting that the surface be skin-like, like touching another being, possibilities, gut, perhaps, sheepskin, tanned. The process of like the deeper spiritual meanings, it's being fleshed out with like the materiality of the work. You see so many of the roots of so much of her practice in here. So I don't know if you can imagine, like, we just found this piece, you know, like it's imagine... I'm an archivist, but it's also my mother. So I'm also like discovering aspects of my mother while I'm doing this whole project. The world I want to see is a world where intimacy and interconnectedness are championed. And my mom's entire practice is about that. And it's this kind of strange hybrid of science, magic, the creative gesture, you know, like all of the kind of facets of a life lived and like a deep curiosity. Each of the pieces is a spell. I feel like there are these like really amazing maps and tools that she's generating for the future, for people to be able to use. And so I feel a real sense of urgency to share the work. I want them to be used and shared and seen by as many people as possible because we need it right now so badly in this moment of fascism. It's such a joy, like, to get to be understanding the work more deeply, but also having the opportunity to really share. And like, obviously my biggest dream is that the work gets shown in as many ways as possible. The real tools that she made for people to navigate what it is to be alive and the pain of being alive. It feels like such a huge responsibility. And the other thing that's been so amazing in bringing people here is every single person that comes to visit walks out of here being like, what do you need? How can I help? I'm on board. So basically we're getting all of our kind of community of Los Angeles behind the project of getting my mom's work out into the world where it belongs. I mean, she's a treasure. She's a Los Angeles treasure. When I talk about her work as creating tools for the collective, this is exactly what that is. So as a young girl, my mom would have me use my imagination. And if I was going through a difficult moment with something, she would be like, okay, we're going to create an imaginary tool that you can use to move through, to help you in moving through that with as much ease as possible. And, you know, whatever, I would talk with her about what was going on and close my eyes and kind of have to really, like, process what I needed in that moment in a kind of deep emotional way and come out with a little kid's version of a tool that would work. And this is Eugenia processing. This is her process of tool making. And it's something that you can hold in your hand. It's a vagina, it's a penis, it's a shell, it's a lightning bolt. She's channeling, so I don't think she's fully aware of what she was making when she was making it. But it's a tool to navigate a brokenhearted world. And so like something like this, I want everyone to have this tool. It also rewrites the idea of conceptual art. I'm calling it feminine conceptualism, where you're really tapping into a collective imagination, a collective history to create tools to help us transcend all of the madness that's going on.
So I am Caroline Isaguer, and I am archiving at the studio, taking care of the collection, preserving and working on this special project in archiving. And this has been a beautiful journey to meet Corazon and to unfold, excavate, decipher, communicate with Eugenia and Corazon. I'm sure you talked about it, but sometimes we are questioning the way, even recently, the way we were going to organize the space, and here is suddenly Eugenia appearing in her concept, and we're like, wow, great, we have how she thinks, how she. That's the other thing in archiving that I love, and this process is that we have been all the time, we are in awe. I mean, really completely biased to the work, and all the time her clarity to express and articulate lines, colors, form, words is so magical. And so part of the archiving is to actually go through boxes, and we kind of sometimes unveil some of her process. So, and this was always like, oh, that's how she did it.
Yeah. She writes about everything really clearly in her journals, and even in the pieces, like the orbs is a recalibration at an atomic level of her being and like the collective self. And we were just in awe of each of the pieces, but kind of as this body of work, and then towards the end, we found a whole folder where it's a whole entire dream house. Mm-hmm. And each of the orbs and the different spaces are different rooms of a memory palace.
A series,
and with like very defined
rooms
and ideas in each room. And you're like,
colors.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Thank you for
organizing. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense.
Or we've been talking like, oh, we should make a tarot deck with these images. And we were kind of loosely talking about it. And then like a month ago, we found a really large drawing, and it's directions for the box for her tarot deck.
Right.
And we were like, what the heck?
Yes. So it's always magical how she has, she appears. This collection itself from the barn is a special project in archiving from Archibald Quincy Jones. It was actually my first work here. to really go through in detail this collection. Metabolic Studio has been conducting special project in archiving in this space called The Barn, which was the former studio and house of the architect Archibald Quincy Jones.
We're archiving inside of an archive, which is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like right behind you there.
Yeah.
All this is his archive. All these little drawers are full of his things.
Constellation or something?
Constellation.
I love that actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good, but it's actually so beautiful too.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, I love these. We find them again, and she's kind of erasing part of it. And this is all the ions that we see making us. I mean, making who we are. And again, she goes into more abstract. And
then this character.
Yes. What is she writing?
Carolyn is really good at deciphering. My mom's writing.
Handwriting?
She's even better than me.
Interesting. Yeah.
We do.
It's a skill that you've learned.
Are these the wires? No.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah.
Are these the.
Where.
Virus?
No.
Because it says what destroys or what make it begin
to be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And what does that say?
Hmm.
Door? Something. Door.
Oh, a door. Acacia door. No? Acacia.
Acacia. Maybe acacia door. And then it has this bean.
Mm-hmm.
Creature. Oh, look.
Yes.
Is the spiral a vestige?
A last vestige.
Oh, a last vestige. Or will I go on? Doesn't heart.
Mm-hmm. From in waves. What will I be? Sheer terror,
horror.
Flee from.
Can't. And. It.
Anger.
Why is it that? Why so hard? Is there anything?
There,
or is it just pain and dumb not to be
mute cry for see me, let me be seen me, do I have anything to offer?
Home, self, and
still,
I seems too far away. I will change. I am bigger.
I figure it out. I don't want to become a dishwasher.
on the dirt. I don't know. There's always two conversations. So there's in red that, and it happens a lot where it'll be like, the deepest fears that she's processing, and then it'll be a response. It'll say like, out from
not seen too fast, thick too thin,
the room
term
changing, not too cold,
moon
runs out, the room running out, why turn the pain won't stop,
whether
something me pushing, I don't know what that word is.
What hurts, what is emotional, and
that's
thing, no, that, and trait, and unbearable, no, I don't know, the abyss,
which can
help.
I don't know the held me anything, and one who me
help me slam lift. Oh, what is that slam? Mm-hmm. She's mysterious.
It's a lot of processing deep pain. Yes. I mean, I think that's also its power. And I think, honestly, that's why my mom's work, a big reason that it's been so overlooked is because it really addresses her own pain. And mm-hmm. I think it's a collective pain that we are basically under soft fascism for so long, and our kind of process of pain has been just to like focus on the surface and mm-hmm. buy things and make art that like looks cool and be cool. And it's like, we're never going to heal until we process this mm-hmm. really deep pain, and in processing it, then we can move through it and call on all these sources. Because then through this scroll, you see she's like, then moves on.
She's processing.
Yeah. It doesn't
get stuck. And she's giving us also a map to process as well.